We go inside the Beltway with the true insiders. He's a Redskins fan, but we still love him anyway. Jeff Holtzman joins us from Talk Radio News. You know, it's hard to bag on you, though. I have to admit it, when my crappy Eagles, I mean, they are just limping out of this season. And
yeah, you got nothing on me this year, Kate.
I know.
You got nothing on me.
I know. I got to admit it. Absolutely. So, you know, kudos to the Redskins for at least staying in it. Right.
Well, I hope you archive your shows, because as soon as I get hang up with you, I'm going to get the recording of this, and so I have that forever. I have an Eagles fan going on record as congratulating me, a Redskins fan.
All right, I'll make sure that I talk to your wife and get a copy of it so that I can destroy it. Susan Rice abandoning her bid to be the next Secretary of State. Was it just too much pressure and she decided, forget it, this is confrontational, I need to help my friend the Perez? What happened?
Yeah, I think it was mostly that, and probably a little bit, you know, the White House leaning on her to say, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea, and pumping the brakes a little bit, Kate. And when you look at, you know, everything that's happened in the past couple months since the Benghazi attacks, Susan Rice has obviously come under a lot of scrutiny for her role and how the administration framed the attacks and how they, you know, responded to the attacks. And, you know, part of it, obviously, you can point a finger at the White House and say, you know, well, maybe the White House should have had somebody else go on TV in those days after Benghazi. But part of it, you know, for Republicans at least, you know, they want to know why Susan Rice, who had access to the classified information, and the declassified information, went on the air, and used the talking points that were based on the declassified information that wasn't completely accurate at the time. That's the big holdup for them. And they don't think that, you know, that Rice should have done that. And for them, you know, I mean, their votes are important, because ultimately, you know, if Rice was going to be confirmed to replace Hillary Clinton, she's going to need 60 votes. And if you get the entire GOP caucus voting against you, then the math doesn't add up. You just don't have the numbers. And I think that Rice realized that. The White House realized that. They don't want a messy confirmation process. They don't want to revisit Benghazi. They know that it's not a good PR story for them. And I think they also, you know, the sort of X factor here, Kate, is the fact that, you know, I mean, President Obama has a backup plan in the form of John Kerry. If Kerry's not around, then maybe this becomes a trickier issue to navigate. Maybe Rice stays in the game a little longer. Maybe they roll the dice and see if they can get her confirmed. But at this point, you're looking at a guy in Kerry who's got broad support on both sides of the aisle in Congress. It's probably going to be an extremely easy confirmation process for him. And, you know, members of both parties say that he's more than qualified to do the job. So that's, you know, all those things. And one more thing, Kate, there's also sort of a financial issue here, too, because Rice has stock in TransCanada,
yes,
which is the company that's lobbying the administration to build pipeline. And,
yeah,
and the thing about that is that the State Department is the ultimate purveyor of whether or not that project gets approved or denied. So that's a huge conflict of interest right there, and I think Rice is very cognizant of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so probably John Kerry is the guy, maybe not, but that's, like you said, that's
the president.
Well,
I don't see anybody else at this point, Kate, and based on my conversations with other folks in Washington, I don't think anyone's looking towards anywhere beyond John Kerry at this point. I think he is almost a lock to be the guy who's going to be nominated.
Yeah. Other big news, Obama and Ben are meeting again, this time for almost an hour, I guess, in the Oval Office. What's the scoop there, if anything leaked out? Because I know it's tight as a drum.
I haven't gotten my hands on any intimate details from that meeting, Kate, but the fact that they met for an hour, I would say, is encouraging. And I think it's encouraging that they met in person, and they also, you know, this wasn't something that was on the White House schedule at the start of the day. This was something that was announced about an hour before it happened. And to a lot of us who were at the White House today, you know, we interpreted that as maybe they're making some progress in the back channel talks. And that's maybe why they had the meeting scheduled to get that, you know, maybe that final push. We'll know tomorrow morning, because it hasn't been scheduled yet, but I can almost guarantee that John Boehner will hold a press conference. And it's going to be really interesting to see what he says, because for the whole week this week, Kate, you've had Boehner and and Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, saying the exact same thing, the exact same talking point. Boehner is saying, well, you know, the president's not moving far enough on spending cuts, and he's also calling for this additional stimulus, and that's a non-starter. And on the other hand, you have Carney saying, you know, Boehner needs to give up his, you know, protection of these tax cuts for the top 2%, and that's a non-starter for us. So it's going to be interesting to see what Boehner says tomorrow morning. If it's more of the same, then obviously this meeting won't have had a lot of, you know, won't have produced a lot of results in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thanks a lot.
All right, Kate. And you know what? I look for the Eagles to rebound next year. I think they're going to have a better year next year. Look, Nick Foles is looking promising. I'll give you that.
I think so, too. I like Nick Foles, too. I agree with you. Thanks for that bone you threw me this holiday season. Thanks, Jeffrey.
All right. Thanks, Kate. See ya.
All right, speaking of the Eagles, boy, I could barely watch their Thursday night game. Cincinnati ripped them 34-13. Philly, a miserable 4-10 on the season. Cincinnati, 8-6. They move forward. Even though Andy Dalton was getting slammed by the Eagles' defense, it wasn't enough. In the end, the Eagles are stinky, lousy, awful. They need to get rid of Andy Reid. There's some hard opinions for you. The Susan Rice story, you heard us talking about it there, is over. She withdraws from Secretary of State. We were just, Jeff and I were going back and forth on that. Susan Rice gave an interview to NBC News. I watched the interview. In the interview, she talked about the fact that, listen, she went on the talking points. She was part of the team. She went on the talking points that she was given in talking about Benghazi and the reason for what happened in, you know, in what happened there in Benghazi, what happened in Libya. And one thing she did say that I would have to agree with, because I think it was lame. The talking points one were lame. If they put her out there on the Sunday shows, then she should have been able to say what she thought was happening and was should have been able to frame it better then. In other words, to say, and I think this was Lindsey Graham's point, the senator from the Carolinas, and, of course, John McCain, the senator from Arizona, I think that she should have been able to say, listen, we do not in any way, shape, or form have the whole story. We have no idea. We are throwing darts at a dartboard here, and this is what it looks like. But we're not saying that's the official thing, because we don't yet know. So then when they're asked, when she was asked about terrorism and the anniversary of 9/11, then she would have been open to say, of course, there's always these possibilities. So the problem is when you're in that position, it can't just be a little bit of the narrative. And they put her on that limb. If that's true, okay, she gets the talking points, this is what you can say, then whoever handed her the supposed inside dope on what was going on, they were wrong for that. And that was probably Petraeus in the CIA, but it could be someone else. So what's interesting is now Susan Rice is out of consideration. That's over with. Probably be Kerry, as we said. And what you'll have is Hillary Clinton's farewell party on the 20th of December. She's supposed to testify about Libya because, you know, these Republican senators are like a rabid dog. They're not letting go of it. They want the A, B, C, D all the way down. Okay, tell us where the info came from. Tell us about this. Tell us why we didn't send troops to Benghazi. Talk about what led up to what happened to Ambassador Stevens. Talk about the fact that there wasn't any backup that they asked for twice. They asked for more security, but that's going to be a budgetary thing on the State Department, and that's probably what Hillary Clinton will get grilled about.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing a regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
The financial high dive. I refuse to call it cliff. The way the politicians are operating could be the death of hope. That would be Susan Rice, who really wanted to be Secretary of State, and Obama really wanted her to be, but they didn't get the story straight, and that's all it takes these days. We live in a world of whatever you say is immediately popped out there through social media and other means. So on a television show that's blasted all over the place, there was lots of confusion about what happened in Benghazi. There were angry people, as it should have been, because that ambassador, Stevens, died, and three of his colleagues. And you got a question. They asked for backup twice. It didn't happen. They asked for security. So, of course, there's questions. Just tell us what happened, and then we can put this all to bed. But because there was so much mystery around it, it's on the administration's fault. Whether they knew what happened, didn't know what happened, just say it. And then she wouldn't have gotten caught up in that web, and things might have been different for her. But that's all it takes. Boom, your knees get taken out in a second. Affairs, lies, secrets. Petraeus, he was on the fast track to becoming the lead dog of defense, stepping in for Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense. That's what he would have been. He would have had that title. So talk about rising all the way through the ranks. And maybe it was the transition from the military to ultimately civilian life that got Petraeus in the end, or the seductress who was writing the biography. But whatever, all it took was boom, one call to the FBI from a friend in Florida to take him down. I mean, your knees get taken out from underneath you faster than you can imagine, because the way the speed of lightning that we have now at our fingertips because of social media. Anything that's out there, you are done instantaneously. So Rice is out of the top post. that'll be one of the big stories in the running for it anyway of 2012, as is Benghazi and what happened in Libya and that kind of stuff. But the funeral song could also be applied to this crazy story that I read that I'm going to mix in here for a second. How would you feel about watching a show based on a funeral home? It's true, because TLC is going to do a show called Best Funeral Ever. It's going to air the day after Christmas. It's a one-time special, but they're leaving it open that it could be more, testing the waters. What's very strange is I know the funeral home. Golden Gate Funeral Home. Where is it located? Dallas, Texas. And it's a show, and this is the reason why I know it, because they have different kinds of services that are unique to the people that are being celebrated. So they have crazy parties, they have barbecues, they have a sauce fountain, they've got a boxing ring. It's because somebody wants that. They do specialized funerals, not the somber kind of things, the viewings, that stuff. I mean, they could, but a lot of times what happens is it's crazy stuff. So they offer really anything you want. Whatever the experience is, they'll give it to you. I mean, these are extravagant funeral options. So TLC said, why not? We got Honey Boo Boo. We have the little girl that I don't understand why she's famous. So why not try a show about funerals? Would you want to watch a show about a funeral home? I mean, how much legs do you think that would have? So here's the question, though. You heard, can we play that march one more time? Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum, ba, bum, 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 bum. I can't do that very well.
Na, 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 na.
So because I'm in a generous mood, yes, I'm in a generous mood, I want to give somebody a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS. If you can tell me who composed that. Who wrote that music that you just heard that is played, well, I guess not at all funerals, but at a lot of funerals, maybe not as many anymore. It's just because it's too, it's just the second you hear it, boom, tears, automatic. So you can give me a call at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or shoot me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Click on contact. And who came up with this music, this piece of music? Yep, and you'll get to see it if you're bored, you're on vacation. Check it out, TLC, Best Funeral Ever. Yep, and I don't know, maybe there is something to that. Maybe there's something to a celebration instead of the old-fashioned way of doing things. I think I told this story one time before, but because we've kind of fallen into this non sequitur, I'll continue down this road. Here on America Tonight, I was at a funeral where people took pictures of the, you know, that was an open casket, and people took pictures, and it was, they told me it was very common to do that, and I was shocked. I had no idea that people did that, that they took pictures. I guess it's a closure thing, last memory. They're going to be looking good. If the funeral director did a good job anyway, I don't know. I don't know what that's about, but that would be. I mean, to me, that seems tough because I don't know that I would want to remember that person, even for the whole viewing thing. I don't like the viewing idea. And because to me, that image is in your head. I think you're thinking of the person in that way, let's say. Coming up the rest of this hour on America Tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of other things, certainly, including some immigration, illegal immigration problems that have led to a big change at the Border Patrol. At the Border Patrol, what happens sometimes is, because of the language barrier, the person who's a Border Patrol agent who speaks Spanish ends up becoming a translator. It's just a kind of a common thing that happens. If a person is pulled over and can only speak Spanish, a lot of times what happens, you know, just even in somebody from a law enforcement agency, what do? Immediately they call the Border Patrol. In Arizona, that's like standard operating procedure. They call the Border Patrol in to come. But now they're not allowed to do that anymore because of the time that's being taken away. The Department of Homeland Security says that the new guidelines are the agents have to refer that kind of a request to some other service, some other private service, like find a real translator, not one of our people. So is this, do you think, to cut down on getting, you know, stopping illegal people, asking them questions? Because remember, that was the Arizona thing. If you suspect they're in the country illegally and you're stopping them for something else, you could ask them about it. Well, if you can't speak Spanish and they only speak Spanish, you're obviously not going to be able to do that. You won't have the, you won't be able to do it. You'll have to call somebody in. And can you, what, pull them aside? No, you're going to let them go. So is it something about that, or is this a way to free up Border Patrol agents and keep them out of the middle of this? See, I think that's part of it too. Keep them out of the middle of it, and just if it's a state trooper or if it's a cop, whatever, you know, then they're not involved. They don't have to do it. They don't have to be committed to the effort. They don't have to be the translator. And what happened is after the September 11 attacks, I guess, you know, this is one of those things a lot of people don't realize, but the President Bush ordered the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, which oversees the Border Patrol, to beef up the presence, it makes sense, on the U.S.-Canada border and, you know, beef it up as much as the U.S.-Mexico border. So if you look at numbers, which is interesting, in 2007, the northern border, and I know there's people listening to us from Canada, the northern border had about 1,100 agents. Now it has more than 2,200. Think we need 2,200 Border Patrol agents on the northern border? There, sometimes, they often have been asked to jump in and interpret. On the southern border, the Spanish is a little better with some of the cops and some of the sheriff's deputies and that kind of thing. So you can bet the ACLU and the Northwest Immigrants' Rights Project, that's the name of the group, filed a big juicy lawsuit seeking to stop Border Patrol agents from doing traffic stops on Olympic Peninsula. So that lawsuit is pending. Could be a big change, more people coming from the north. Stay with us.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com. Toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Whey on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Chopin wrote that. That was his music. So, Movie Jim, through the miracle of the internet, I am handing him the book right now. Level the playing field.
Speech.
Brats, and other BS. Now, that would be something if you could just hand something into the internet and the person on the other side could grab it. That's a movie. That's futuristic stuff, right? But we will send him a copy of the book. So how about that? Woohoo! Stocking stuffer. Wonder if he's up for this. He's got to read 173 pages. 173 pages. And he's a big movie guy, so that might bite into his movie time, let's say. But congratulations. Now, what I want to know is, do you think Movie Jim, Charles in Charge, do you think he looked it up on the internet? Do you think he looked it up on the internet, Charles?
I'm going to go with honesty. Innocent until proven guilty.
Now, he's, you know what, he's like a kindred spirit with me because he's from the Philly, South Jersey area, so, you know, hey, it's the golden rule. I bet you he didn't look it up on the internet. He didn't let he's giving me a sign. He didn't look it up. So I'm buying what he's selling. So bravo, he didn't look it up.
I believe him.
I believe him, too. So he gets the book. So check it out, folks. This kind of segues into the next thing that with the Internet. You know, we're desperately trying to keep the Internet highway wide open. We do not want regulation. Yes, there is a lot of nonsense and crap and things you don't want to read, but guess what? You don't have to read them. It's the freedom of living in the United States. We like the fact that the Internet is the wild, wild west. That's what makes it so interesting to so many of us. Well, the U.S. is refusing to sign a U.N. resolution. Remember that? Baby, they were pressing out there calling for regulation, more red tape of the Internet, even though some other countries who are part of a summit are saying, oh, yeah, we're signing it. We're signing it. Well, of course you are, China, communist China. You want to control the Internet, all the dollars and all the free thought? Yes, you'll sign that. But why should the U.S. sign it? So thank goodness for once. Because so many of our freedoms are taken away, we don't even realize it. We have too much red tape that we could wrap the red tape around our bodies and suffocate with how much red tape we have in our lives. And we don't need the Internet to go in this direction. Eventually, it may. We're already dealing with enough with the Internet. So the ambassador, I was reading his quote from a conference call, and he said, you know, we announced that we can't sign the revised regulations in their current form. Because it looks strong enough that it looks unlikely that it will materially change. Doesn't that sound like nonsense? So basically, let's cut through his rhetoric. What he's saying is because the agreement isn't legally binding anyway, why do we sign it? So that we have everyone down our throats in our country, and it doesn't mean anything if we're not going to force this thing. So that doesn't have any teeth to it. So what sense does it make? Google was really behind the push to expose this, of course, because it's in their best interest. They had an Internet petition going around against the Internet regulation, the UN Internet regulation. There was 3 million signatures on that. So what do you expect? Censorship. That's what it is. It is censorship. The other countries who want to sign the treaty, so sorry. But for the U.S., it doesn't make any sense. The control of the Internet is a very, 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 let me say it another time, very big deal. Governments regulating email that's viewed as spam. I mean, do we all want the crappy spam we get? No. But do we want somebody to control what's happening? No. So it's too vague. It doesn't make any sense. It's not practical. Of course, the U.S. wasn't going to sign it. If the U.S. had, if we had signed it, oh, I mean, we'd be talking about this forever because it would be so ridiculous. It would just be another mind-numbing, stupid thing that came down the pike that somehow the U.S. put its name to. It wouldn't make any sense. And, of course, our laws and everything else, Congress wants a piece of that action, trust me. And if anything happens with the Internet, and there have been, as you know, challenges, it'll come from that direction before it'll come from some kind of agreement with a bunch of other countries. So there you have it. The Internet still is the most useful tool that we have on the planet Earth. As much as nasty things can happen with the Internet, some terrible things have happened to people, whether it's because of an ad on Craigslist or some other thing that's happened, somebody being provoked enough that it led to their own suicide. The thing is with the Internet, it is an amazing tool. The other day, I was in a incredible library where, I mean, it was probably, I'm not joking, it probably was a $10 million or more library. And I noticed they had all these encyclopedias. All these encyclopedias, because it was old school. So I thought, wow, what an obsolete book. How many years did how many people make so much money on the encyclopedia? Because it would have to be updated constantly. Things would change. So every year there was new encyclopedias. And I know when we were in school, we loved the encyclopedias. We look up in the encyclopedia. Can you imagine now? I don't think my nephew even knows what an encyclopedia is. So the birth of the Internet, as much as there are some negatives connected to it, it's absolutely brilliant. So thank you, Al Gore. for the invention of the internet. Whoops. No, he didn't invent the internet. Who invented the internet? Charles in Charge, who invented the internet? There is
Neo.
No answer to that.
Neo invented the internet.
There is no answer. There's no direct answer to that.
Some kids in a university.
Some kids in a university. Yeah. I don't think so. Does anyone know the answer to that question? All right, so as always, as we are rambling through a wonderful hour here on America Tonight, excited, it's the weekend, we're thick into football, we got Nail the Score, maybe someone else will nail the score, and what a year it's been. We're reflecting back on the year. Who really thrived and who really dived? We'll talk about that, the inspiring people and the conspiring people. It was really a wild, wild 2012.
Okay, Kate, the internet says the government invented the internet.
I thought Al Gore invented the internet. Seriously, right? The U.S. government. Okay, so if we invented it, why do we have to sign any kind of U.N. treaty with a bunch of other countries? Forget it. We don't need to do that. We came up with the idea. We're not jumping in on that action. No way. It would be America Tonight if we weren't talking about politics in some form, because there are so many things that affect us. As I say, it's, you know, we went through this whole presidential election. There were so many other facets to it when it came to Congress and what was going on with Congress. Now we're about to usher in a new Congress. So you wonder how much change we'll actually see. Will things sail through? Will we ultimately get some of the laws that we need and some of the laws we don't need tossed out? Will there be anything that ends the log jam? I think it should be mandatory for senators and congresspeople to have a certain amount of days in Washington, because if you go and you check do a little digging and you check the rolls, you see that there are votes of present, there are people that are hardly there for votes, and what you find out when you're in Washington is most of the time, especially when you're talking about Congress, most of the time they're in Washington maybe Monday through Thursday or Tuesday through Thursday or whatever it might be. But nobody stays in D.C. So the closeness that could develop between different people from different parties and that little thing called compromise that would often happen doesn't happen as much. Nobody is having those relationships that they used to have because they don't have their families in Washington. It used to be you came to Washington, you had a place in Washington, and wherever you represented, wherever you were from, Ohio, New Jersey, Virginia, wherever. And then you would stay partially in Washington, so you got to know other people. And it made a difference, I believe, in those committees, in things that were talked through, even in some of the very rough things that were tackled. And you hear about the cooperation, and that's what the big difference is, and that's what we're missing. Plus, you don't have people voting as much as they should be voting, unless it's just the mother load of a vote, and you have to show your face in a war situation, the decision to go to war, etc. But there's so many other things where you don't get the full-on vote, and that's too bad. I think that there should be some kind of mandatory period of staying in D.C. That would be one thing that would make a difference. Then we wouldn't be talking about fiscal cliffs, and maybe we'd actually have a budget. Can you imagine?
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer, in stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Rising food prices, extreme weather, political and economic uncertainty. The one lesson learned by those who lived through Hurricane Katrina: if you're counting on your government to show up and take care of you in the event of a major disaster, you just might have to wait a long, long time. Will your family be ready in the event of an unexpected disaster or disruption? The best step towards preparedness is a quality, storable food supply from Dry Harvest Foods. Dry Harvest offers healthy, high-quality, storable food that you can depend on. Our food packages contain real meat, real butter, real cheese, with none of those cheap ingredients like soy protein substitutes. Dry Harvest has the highest calorie count per dollar in the industry, so you can feel confident and ready in these uncertain times. Some people worry, others prepare. Call Dry Harvest Foods at 406-587-4181 or visit callnow.org. That's Dry Harvest Foods, 406-587-4181, and visit callnow.org.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to
say. Well, there's a question for you. Susan Rice, the UN ambassador, we started talking about her at the beginning of the hour with Jeff Holtzman out of D.C. and what they were saying there. Rudy Giuliani thinks President Obama should be very, very happy that Rice removed her name from consideration to be the next Secretary of State, because he says it will prevent a larger look into what really happened on September 11th in Benghazi, Libya. He says it's not bad news for the president. It's a president, rather. It's a battle to get her confirmed would have really blown up what happened, where no answers have been given. And Giuliani says, you know, how could someone expect to become Secretary of State if all they do is stick to the official lines without putting more context together in an event that was... we need some context and content here, Ms. Rice, on an event that clearly wasn't a spur-of-the-moment response to the movie. I'll say it again. Her battleship was sunk once she said the thing about the movie. And if she got the talking points, which I do think she did get officially from somebody, she's really doomed either way. Because then Giuliani's right. Oh, you want to be the Secretary of State, but how are you improvising with your thought process? What are you doing with your thought process where you're pulling together what you think are the possible or plausible scenarios. So in other words, there was some sizzle, but the sizzle was wrong. And then it became talking points. And then it became the president saying that if you want to come after someone, Graham and McCain, you come after me. So he was like the big shining knight protecting her. And that didn't do her any favors either. So there was no way. She had to step away. She knows she wouldn't have been confirmed. And it's the end of that chapter. And that chapter dragged out. Because this, when she first said this, this was way back, as you remember what happened in Libya, way back in September, in the middle of September. And here we are. It's, you know, almost the end of December. That's how long this little narrative has been going on. And we still are missing some of the key pieces of the Libyan situation, which I think the Democrats shot themselves in the foot here. Just come out with whatever it is. Why do we have such a hard time in this country, especially when you're in a position of power, of saying, I don't know? What is wrong with saying that? I don't know. Do we know what happened there? It's tragic. It's unbelievable. The pictures that we have seen, the video, we have people that are looking at this from all angles. We don't know why this happened. We don't know. Do we ever hear that? No, we never hear that. Never. Two hardest things to do, say you're sorry and say you don't know. Something about that for people. Sally, this woman has a stellar character. I bet you she's probably said both of those things. Hey, Sally, how are you?
Hi, Kate. I'm going to try to be upbeat tonight. I was going to say Felix Mendelssohn wrote that because he wrote the wedding march. I thought maybe he wrote the funeral march, but I got it
wrong. Ooh, good guess. That's a good guess, though. Yeah.
I called my older brother because we used to call him Mr. Encyclopedia, and I thought it was a Russian composer, and he said, no, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know. I didn't know till tonight. I had no idea.
Well, now we know.
Yep.
And I was going to say, Al Gore didn't invent the internet. He invented global warming, which he tried to rename climate change. But the climate changes every minute, so that doesn't work. So it's global warming.
Woohoo! Sally, that was funny. You just wrote a joke. That was good. You're right.
I got another one for you. I heard this at a Christmas tea, so it was really cute. So I'm going to tell it to you since it's Christmas time. There were two boys. One was Joey and one was Timmy. And they're going to put on the little pageant, you know, of the story of Mary and Joseph and the end and everything. And he wanted to be Joseph really bad. Timmy did. And he went there and he wanted to be Joseph. And he got to be, guess what, the innkeeper. And he was so disappointed. And then the guy that bullied him at school, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. The bully, the one that picks on him a lot, guess what he got to be? Joey got to be the Joseph in the play, and he was so disappointed. Well, here came, they had a script, and here came Mary and Joseph across the stage the night of the play, and he and his wife were there, and they knocked on the door and asked if they had any rooms, and so Timmy, he throws open the door, and he goes, sure, come on in, and went off script. And Joey was taken back for a minute, but then he stepped up to the door, which was just a cardboard thing, you know, of an inn, but pretended like he looked in, and he looked to the left, and he looked to the right, and he said, Mary and I aren't staying in this dump. We'll stay in the barn.
That's brilliant. I like it. I'm stealing it, Sal. I love it.
I thought that was cute. We're not staying in this dump. We'd rather stay in the barn.
I like anyway. It. Timmy and Joey. I got it down. I'm going to use that. That's a little slice of brilliance. Thanks, Sal. You were very funny tonight. Very funny. She said, lighten the load a little bit. Let's be a little bit lighter. So speaking of being a little bit lighter, some gun shops in Florida. A quick few gems for you for the tail end of this hour. We've been talking about gun permits and concealed gun permits and whatnot. In Florida, it's the first state to have 1 million permits allowing people to carry concealed firearms. 1 million. Right now, they have 993,200 active. active. And now there's more that have just gotten guns. So that accounts for 4.6% of, because that's what you want to know, the numbers, right? 19.1 million population there. Wow. Floridians are definitely about the Second Amendment. That's not a shock.
Can I put a gun rack on my bike?
Yeah, there's a few gun racks, definitely. I would say, you know, if you looked at the top places, Texas would certainly be there, and Florida would definitely be there, Arizona would be up, but there's smaller populations in Arizona. And you know, you wonder, what if you had concealed and carry in, what if you had concealed and carry in some of these other states where there's a heavier population? How many people would go and get those permits? How many people would jump through those hoops? I would be curious about that. And New Yorkers say, well, the problem is in New York, especially if you're talking about Manhattan, the city, what would that be like if you had that many people who had weapons? I don't, maybe be safer. I'm just saying, I don't know. Although they did have that day, it was just a couple of weeks ago, where no murders, nothing. Nothing. There was even a robbery. There was any kind of an armed robbery. That was brilliant. Just one whole day, nothing happened in New York City. No violence. I'd say when you have a city of eight million, that's pretty darn good to be able to claim that you have one day where you've got nothing on, nothing like that on the police blotter. Nothing. That's huge. Okay, here's another quick gem for you. Everybody's talking about Governor Chris Christie. He's just on the Barbara Walters special. And, ooh, will he run for president one day? And how about next time around, Governor of New Jersey? He's got a challenge from Cory Booker, who's popular in Newark. So they did a hypothetical poll. The poll was done last week, and the poll showed that Christie had a 25-point lead in a test matchup, but he had a test matchup with everybody but Booker. So that's a hypothetical race for governor that doesn't have the maximum people in it that you would want to see him run against. I don't know. It's a little ways off. Are we talking about people getting elected again? Didn't we just get through this? Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.
Terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression. America's worst drought in agricultural history. And now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.